Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Salutations, everybody. It is Matty here today with episode 135 of the Ham Radio Podcast.
And it's me, Carrick, with ACG.
We thought Lone was going to be here this week.
We did.
We were sitting here like, is Lone going to be on? He told us in advance he wouldn't be here for 2 weeks, but between me leaving for a week, then coming back, and then Lone being gone, we're like, is this the week all three of us finally reunite? And what I like to do is wait for all three of us to be here to roll in a guest, because then the guest gets the full experience of us three idiots. So we don't have Lone this week, sadly. We miss him very much, but he's busy traveling for work as we speak. I think he just got back from 24 hours of flying, according to his Twitter account. So, Yeah, he's a busy boy. But that doesn't matter because we got a – that doesn't matter. It does matter, but we got a lot of other gaming shit to talk about. So let's get right into it. It's starting off with EA. You already know they're the hot topic of the week. They've said two individually stupid things. We're going to start off with linear games. EA has claimed that gamers don't enjoy linear titles as much nowadays. Now, with a year that included Hellblade and Wolfenstein 2 is just two that come straight to my mind. What do you think about these comments?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I can assume is that they did do, I mean, normally, well, I was going to say normally they wouldn't talk out their ass, but then the next thing we're going to talk about, they are literally talking out their ass. Mm-hmm. So I'm not quite sure if they did some kind of testing, focus testing or something, where they came up with this claim. But it's the weirdest fucking claim, because what it really should say is that maybe something along the lines of it costs more. That makes sense, because linear games do cost more, you know, if you're doing these big expansive things, you know, blah, blah, blah. Or they could. Voice acting, they're harder to do, maybe, for whatever reason. Those things would make sense on a technical level, because you could discuss them. But when somebody says, hey, guys, you don't like games anymore of the genre, I say, that's...
Yeah.
It doesn't make any actual sense. Yeah, right. It's very odd.
See, what I just read it and reworded it as, based off his comments in my mind, was this doesn't make us enough money. Because later in the interview,
that's what I thought.
He goes on and says that, you know, sometimes when you realize you're not going to make a lot of money on the product, you have to change things up. Yeah. And now, if we're talking gamers maybe lean towards replayable, open world, multiplayer, mm-hmm. because they want more bang for their buck, maybe they can't dive into every single title that comes out this year, that makes sense. I don't think I disagree with EA if they said something along those lines, because, yeah, like a Wolfenstein 2, you do have some of that end game content, but it is like about a 10-hour game, and you're kind of done afterwards. Yes, you can replay it on other difficulties, but like it's not, we'll say, like a Horizon Zero Dawn. You beat the game, you get dropped back into the open world, there's more side quests to do, and you can put more hours into the game. So yeah, if they were talking bang for your buck, I'd get that. But they're talking enjoyment factor here, which is, like you said, why are they telling us what we enjoy? And I think it's because they want to justify what they did to Visceral Games.
Yeah, and what's and then turned around and bought whoever, like, a week later.
Respawn.
Respawn, yeah.
Hey, this looks great. Yeah, buy us.
Yeah, it's so odd. And, like, I had Tarmac on, who's pretty good at, like, breaking industry down. And he was discussing that there's a good chance that the removal of one company helped fund, you know, the next and help purchase it. And that all makes sense. Like, that all is pretty static. But when somebody just points and says this generic thing, I took it the same way, where it was a Microsoft scale-bound kind of issue, where they didn't like where it was going, which is fine. These are all – that's what's weird to me. These are two things we're going to discuss, where what they said – three things, actually, I think, topics today, where what they said could have been explained very simply. And there would have still been outrage, because this is an outrage world, but it would have been it would have been an outrage that you can argue and discuss. This is just a really odd thing to even say in the first place. And you're stuck going, okay. I mean, okay. Whoever you talk to, like, what's the number? There's no numbers for this. It's just like you guys don't like it as much as you used to. And
exactly.
Not 100% sure that's real.
10 years ago. So I'm trying to think what games were dropping in 2012, 2007.
Uncharted 4 just dropped last year and did spectacularly well. So the one thing I'm thinking of, or this year, sorry. No, last this year was the, this yeah, year this year was that expansion. Legacy. So here's the question I have. Do you think that it's possible that Star Wars was far more linear than we all thought? Because I'm going to be brutally honest. I think if you and Lone and I were talking, we were thinking a little bit more in lines with an Uncharted. Yes. Not that it'd be open world. You know what I mean? Where it's like a little wide.
No, I agree.
Because it's Star Wars.
Yeah.
And so if they were like, no, this is Force Unleashed 1, where it's like paths.
Yeah.
I wish there would be an explanation of that. Because if there was, the thing is they're doing themselves a disservice by not explaining it well, because then people are going to assume the worst because of the other stuff they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's a lost. I mean, Microsoft could give them a bunch of pointers on how to not say shit to people. But
for starters, I agree that, yeah, that was the game that came to my mind. I instantly thought Uncharted when we were talking about this visceral Star Wars game, because that was often the rumor and the comparison and what I've heard devs had said. So what I do have to say and agree with is that when it comes to linearity, if we're talking like the Order 1886 type of just like, you're going to walk here, you're going to observe these things, you're going to shoot here, like that type of straight and narrow. If they reworked a design like that, they totally have my support. Cause although the Order 1886 had a interesting universe, so does Star Wars. And it just didn't foot the bill. It simply wasn't worth the money or time.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's why they're reworking it. I don't know what they're going to add to rework it, which is why I'm just very much leaning towards they're doing some type of multiplayer component. Because we've talked about with Scalebound many times as the most recent example of a big cancellation that they see there's no way we make the money back on this. It's better to cut dry and not just ship the product. And especially with Star Wars, if they're reworking the product now, they're putting even more money into it. How do you make that back besides game sales? There's only one way nowadays, right? So it's like, you know, unless they think this is going to sell 20 plus million copies and just break the internet,
it also reminds me, I don't think so either. And it also reminds me a little bit of Gazillion, because you had people who, now that Marvel Heroes is shut down, who were saying that they've known or felt something was weird for months. So did the people who were working on this. And so I also do want to say that it's nice for us, because we hate some of these companies, to diss on them a lot. But there is also the factor, just like Scalebound, that there were actual issues with the game. And that internally there was issues with, I mean, there's been a lot of discussion about some problems with leadership and stuff like that too. Mm-hmm. But it's weird, because it's like, if they're giving these quotes, most companies will say, when you give this quote, this is the same quote you're going to give all the time. But instead, they're like talking out their ass, and you get these weird comments like this, and it makes you just go, what? Like, it doesn't make any sense. But they don't seem to know it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And I don't know of anybody who says, I dislike linear titles. That's what's another thing that's weird.
I've noticed, I didn't realize how polarizing of a game Wolfenstein 2 was in many ways with the way discussions go. Like, there are people who don't like this game at all and passionately at that. And there's people who passionately love this game. And so what I noticed, though, is that a lot of people were like, $60 for half a movie and half a game. Like, because I guess I didn't think there were too many cutscenes personally. And I thought when there was a cutscene, it was really moving things forward. In my honest opinion, and I don't want to get into that too much, but yeah, I've noticed there is this like disdain for a linear title like that. But then there's this overwhelming, and I think rightfully so, positivity for a game like Hellblade. Completely linear, completely.
Right.
But when I look at like Visceral Games, what they've done, I don't think, you know, like Dead Space in a way, yeah, it was linear, but it like there were open areas of the ship to explore. You could go back with new tools, get into new areas. Right. I know 3, although struggled in certain areas, opened up a lot with player customization and options. So it's like, I can't see Visceral making a very narrow Star Wars game, just with the way they've always built them. With that said, I mean, we could look at Guerrilla Games. You know, they're building these narrow first-person shooters in Killzone. Shadowfall opens things up a little bit. And then we got Horizon Zero Dawn, a pretty good open-world game. So it's like, you don't know what you're getting. You can't just bang on based off what they have had, what they've done in the past, what you're going to get now, but you can at least reference it. And so what I've seen with Visceral, I don't know how someone could expect like an Order 1886 type of design, but who knows? Totally different IP for them to work with.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's all, we'll never know most likely exactly what it was, because I don't think it was far enough along to really say this is exactly what it was. And I think it probably, at least the rumor is, it rebooted at least once. So
the thing with Star Wars is it's got a history of having like old projects, 1313 interviews, Battlefront 3, still getting like that alpha gameplay out there for people.
Yeah.
You know, it's ridiculous. So Star Wars does have that type of history. I think a Darth Maul game leaked too. So
it did. God damn, I forgot all about that.
Right? Yeah. So there's the chance, just because of the Star Wars community and how open things end up getting after cancellation, of course. I just want that Star Wars success story. I really do. I just want them to do that one single-player game and just be like, yes, good job, guys. We did it.
High five.
Yeah, really. But on to the other bit of news that EA had decided to drop in this same conference. They decided that they're not changing strategies when it comes to microtransactions in Battlefront 2. When asked about cosmetics, they said this would break the immersion for players if there was a pink Darth Vader. I think that was a bit of narrow thinking. And especially when we have cross-era battles going on where we have Darth Maul facing Rey on Galactic Assault on Naboo. Like, okay, that doesn't make sense. But regardless, what do you think about this?
I don't know if you got to see, but they data mined it and they found a bunch of customizations.
Yes.
So you have the president saying, you know, or whoever this was saying, you know, we couldn't do it. And not only, not only is it done, there is actual, a bunch of it was actually done. So again, you have this weird thing. It would, I don't even know really how to, it would almost be like you trying to say, oh, my channel didn't cover Fallout a bunch, and people look online, right, and go, Mr. Matty Plays Plus Fallout, and they fucking 8,000 videos, and they're all, no, it's right there. That's exactly what happened this morning, is people literally just pointed and go, no, it's actually right there. But additionally, something that really disturbs me, there's a bunch of canon comics and a bunch of canon novels already that do discuss or show different stormtroopers dressed in different armors, all kinds of stuff. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. We talked about it a couple months ago when we were talking about what we wanted the game to have when it comes to customization. And then he tried to say it's never happened, and the video shows the Twi'lek in the game.
That's
its actual video.
And the campaign screams that they're just going to take those assets and put them right in the multiplayer. I mean, there's so many random alien types that I don't feel belong in certain areas, but you're like, it's probably a multiplayer asset that's incoming. Right. And they're going to go, we were listening and we have customization now. Because I actually didn't see past the Republic part. I saw the Republic where they had so many different versions, like the Coruscant Guards. They had the 501st. But I didn't see the Rebels, the Empire. I didn't see the droids. Yeah. I don't know if they had customization as well.
They showed there was aliens, there was the stormtroopers. I'm trying to think of what the video shows, because it shows a ton. It shows like people scrolling through and talking about it, and they data mined a bunch.
That's insane, dude.
But the data mining and everything did prove that it was in there, which is the worrisome part, because again, you do have somebody saying we were never allowed to do it, and then it showing up. And that's when you have to start saying, like, what actually is going on? I mean, who knows what's going on? Maybe, well, I had somebody tell me, they're like, oh, maybe they cut it. Because there's cut content in every game. Yeah. Every game. And there's nothing wrong with a company leaving text documents. But this is way beyond that. Like,
this
it's way
looks
beyond
like
that.
A feature complete. It really
does. Yeah, or at least feature half complete, but certainly more than feature discussed. Mm. You know, it's weird. It's just weird.
Because you said they didn't even get past the discussions, right? And
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, just so confusing.
What I'm saying is, you know, I've actually been reading a Star Wars book lately. I have a Captain Phasma comic. I've, you know, because it's Star Wars season now. So, I'm getting into things. And, you know, especially with all these discussions I've been doing, research, especially based off him going, well, we don't want to break the lore. I go, okay, let's see, you know, where they could dig into. And there's just so many different variations, skins. It's like if they did a little research, I'm not calling them lazy, but like if they, you know, really went out of their way and dug into the universe a little bit, there's so much to take from. And it would be really an interesting way with such a big player base to bring new Star Wars fans into Star Wars we grew up with. I don't mean to keep repeating myself to the viewers who listen to me consistently, but I always say this, and not just because it's my favorite game of all time, but an Old Republic pack would be really cool to me. You know, you got the Sith troopers who were now the Empire. You got the Republic commandos. I think that type of stuff would be really cool. And it would switch things up, but also introduce people like, what is the Old Republic? Oh, there's a free MMO. Okay. You know, one of those things. You learn a little bit about that. Learn about KOTOR. Because, I, you know, so many times when I start talking about KOTOR, there's always people who go, what is KOTOR? I've never heard
exactly,
of that.
Exactly, right.
You know, and it's obviously because as we move on, a lot of people's first systems are like the 360 and the PS3 or the Xbox One and PS4. So they're not hearing about these classic Xbox, original Xbox games, I should say, or the PS2 era games. And so it's like, this is EA's chance to do the license some justice, I think. You know, introduce people to these universes or parts of the universe through cosmetics, maybe.
Well, and also, I mean, let's be honest, this is the same fucking company that released a pimptastic stormtrooper in their movie, the Chrome Stormtrooper, whoever the fuck that character is. I can't even remember
Phasma,
much about
Phasma.
The original. I got
this person?
Yes, thank you.
Yep.
So you've got that character running around looking like somebody's really nice old 1970s rims on their Dodge Dart. And so it's like you've got this character, right? And obviously not like the other stormtroopers. And that's in the movie. So you can't tell me that like those kind of weird custom things can't be discussed. Obviously they can.
Yeah.
And then you have the books. There is something about the interactivity, you know, where you jump in and maybe they didn't want that. Because they, you know, said the pink Darth Vader or whatever. But here's the thing. Don't let them fucking do pink Darth Vader then.
Yeah.
Like, that's not that. It's a little bit like the old saying of like throwing the baby out with the bathwater. It's like, oh, fuck it. We're not doing anything. And you're all, well, wait, we're smart. You can't also it sort of disturbs me when we sort of celebrate devs, celebrate pubs when they do good and they help everything, blah, blah, blah. But when you see something like this, and they sort of react this way, you have to look at them and go, well, fuck, man. If they don't even know what they're talking about, when bad shit happens, can we celebrate when good shit happens? And that's one of the conversations I've been having with, like, other YouTubers and stuff. Is like, if these people are like, for example, Destiny, which we'll talk about in a bit, when they're like, we were surprised as you are. I'm like, okay, well, then if you do well, fuck you. I'm not going to say you did well because you didn't know. And you can't have it both ways. And you have these presidents saying, we can't do this, but it's in the game. It makes everybody really question everything. And I think that's sad, too, because like you and I talk about it. It's like, you want to be positive or negative? I even said right before the podcast, I'm like, okay, we got a good mix of positive and like bad stuff about the industry because you don't want to just be all negative. But it's hard. That's
this
really
time
hard.
Around, it actually legitimately is like...
It's difficult.
Because here's the thing. And I was thinking this the other day. I was like, you know, it blows my mind that normally around this time of the year for me, November, December, January, slowest period for me because I'm a predominantly news channel, discussions, and when there's not news, there's nothing to discuss. There's, you know, my channel just declines a little bit. It's normal. It's, you know, part of life as things pick up into the next year and it's business as usual. And that's fine. But things I noticed when things never slowed down for me, I was like, holy shit. Like, that's how bad it's gotten. Because it's like a couple of people I've noticed will tweet at me and go like, you just talk about negative shit now. You don't like anything. I'm like, wow. I've never received that stuff before. It's like it's gotten that bad. And I think part of it's because I have a more stern approach to shit where I'm like, well, fuck that.
Sure.
And so I'm not saying you don't, of course, but
no, I know.
You know, it's more so that like there's never been that slow period yet because things have gotten that bad where we're constantly one discussion after another. Like this guy in the same conference said both these things. He said both these things about you guys don't like linear games, and guess what? We're not changing anything about Battlefront 2. My question with that, after saying it again, it just reminded me: did they learn? you know, let's say they come back and they say, okay, it's been a couple of months. Here's the starter card loot boxes again. You can buy them. Buy your crystals, get your loot boxes, catch up to players who are way ahead of you.
Which dude said this?
Blake Jorgensen. Name?
Okay. I also, and this is just me being honest, I also think that sometimes these guys are really egotistical, and there's no reason to probably say we're keeping the Battlefront microtransactions identical until they get real close to rolling it out. So either they're really close to rolling it out, or you just have this egotistical person who may have been in on the original discussion who's like, we're not changing shit. And you're all, that's a really weird, it's a really weird way to react. It's very reactionary. It's very like, heh, we ain't changing shit. We checked and you're wrong. And it's like, not really. So it makes me question when somebody's at an event like this, because I didn't get to see what he was asked or if he was just blurting stuff or what. But when you hear stuff like this, it makes you then wonder, like, who's handling their PR and who's saying, dude, you can't. I mean, we haven't even got close to the release yet, because at least as far as I know, it's not happening next week. So why is this dude saying we're for sure even? And I'm, by the way, I want to make sure people understand, I'm not saying they should do this. I'm saying it's surprising as a business person that they didn't, you know, they're burning themselves in a weird way and they're just letting the negativity roll up.
Oh, absolutely.
And one of my patrons
was like, it's like they have a dictionary of what not to say.
And yeah.
They just go through it anyway. They're like, okay, this would piss them off. This one too. All right, we're going to say this today. You know, it's crazy. I don't know how they do it. I don't think they – I think you're right on the money with that, that he just kind of – he was the guy on the side of the discussion who goes, fuck them. Keep
yeah,
it in.
Exactly. I mean, that's what he sounds like when you read what
well,
he said.
Thing,
you're like
– both times it was the attitude in the comments was kind of like a they're wrong, not us.
Exactly.
You don't like linear games. You are going to like the kinds that we make that generate a little bit more revenue. The microtransactions, they weren't bad. They're coming back the same. And then defending that, oh, we can't do cosmetics because it'll break immersion. But like I said, there's, as someone who you know, I like immersion in my games, but I can say that Battlefront 2 does a couple of things that could arguably break my immersion, but I think partially because the universe looks so damn good that you might miss it pretty easily, and he might be leaning back on that a little bit too hard now.
Yeah.
It's just not right. It's just not right.
Yeah, it's very weird. And your most hated company in the world doesn't do this. Yeah, Activision. Right. They're the thing is, they can't pull the wool over your eyes, because once the game's released, people talk about it. So it's like Activision seems to have figured out how to say things in a certain way. And I think I said something in Twitter where, like, World War II outsold fucking Infinite. So it's already. So it's obvious that you can learn how to talk to people. And also, you can explain things. You know, if you're a dick, no one's going to listen. They're just going to be like, nope.
Yeah,
no,
exactly.
No matter if what you say makes sense,
just put
right?
Put yourself in a real social situation, right? You know, like, exactly. When someone's an asshole, you kind of get your back up. You're like, you what?
Yeah.
Say that again.
Just, how many times have you just been like, dude, I don't care if you tell me the fucking sun is a star. I'm going to argue with you because you're a jackass. And that's sort of the way these guys are coming across right now, which is very weird to me. It's just odd.
You wonder if they're maybe feeling a little bit of the heat. Maybe that's why there's a reaction to the reaction, really. It's just like there's too many knee-jerk reactions here. But regardless, EA keeping things strong, keeping the news mill hot as we roll
no
on
shit.
To our next topic. It doesn't get better. Take-Two president claims microtransactions aren't gambling because of the content provided in-game. Carrick, you made a news video on this.
I did, update. Man. One of the rare ones, right?
All right. I saw
man,
that.
I literally
applauded my computer screen. I'm like, let's go.
I rarely ever do those because I don't think usually, for me, I'm just very good at them. And things don't piss me off as much as maybe some other people. And that was when he said that the amount of content they give changes the actual definition, basically, of gambling. And I'm not even arguing if it is or isn't gambling. It's the fact of what he said, which is that because we will give you a certain amount of content, you are not going to be allowed to call what we do gambling. And I was just like, the fuck are you? because anywhere you go, 4-star hotel room, because you are a gambler, guess what? When you trade out your chips, you are still gambling, even if you got that perk. If you go into the bar and you get a bunch of free pretzels, the moment you buy a fucking Keno ticket, it's still gambling. It makes no sense what he said. None whatsoever. And it's funny because a bunch of people reacted to it. A bunch of like websites were like, what the fuck? None of this makes sense. But once again, you have somebody who's in charge. Unfortunately, 2K or Take-Two is almost worse than EA right now with the comments they've said, where we don't feel the audacity to say we don't feel like we're monetizing enough and you run GTA Online is stunning.
Yeah.
And then to hear this guy who's like, actually, our definition will change if we give you a bunch of shit, and you're all, no, it won't.
You gotta wonder about Red Dead now.
I don't wonder. I think Red Dead's gonna be infected.
Yep.
Just personally.
No, I completely agree, dude. I made a video for the patrons when the last trailer dropped. I think that was a couple months ago, mm-hmm. and I said, like, the game looks good, but with the direction of Take-Two with Rockstar, you know, they make fucking amazing games. It's just the little things they do. Like I said, like GTA Online will be available at launch. Here's the things you're getting at launch, and it not being there for over a month and no one saying anything. Like, those are the things that for me, I just find there's no justice in that. It's like, I want to clarify to people listening, that's me being me. That's no one else really, I think. I just get, that gets under my skin. So with that under my skin and then seeing this and then not being the biggest Red Dead fan, just enjoying the series a little bit, it's like I'm not that big on Red Dead 2 anymore. And especially with GTA Online, if I'm Take-Two, if I'm a genuine or if I'm an actual business owner, I don't know why they wouldn't do a Red Dead Online with how much money they've made with GTA Online. Like you said earlier, it's not I'm saying I want it. I'm saying they'd be crazy to not do it with how much they made on it.
Yeah.
It just would not make sense. They benefited hand over fist with that. It was an insane profit for them.
Also, I don't know about you, but I'm doing a video in the next couple of days. I haven't really decided how I'm going to word this, but one of the things I want to discuss is like what my ideas are, unfortunately, of how they're going to monetize Red Dead. And like the first thing that popped into my brain when I was brainstorming a couple of days ago, I was like, fucking gang hideouts and shit. Mm-hmm. Like because I had forgotten that you have your apartments in GTA, and all of a sudden I got that battery acid taste in my mouth of like true despair. Cause it's one of those things that when you think of like, almost like you found out your microphone wasn't recording, but remember the time when you didn't find out
and you get the
most horrible. Yeah. You get the most horrible feeling and the adrenaline tastes terrible. Like when that happens, it's like a horrible bitter taste. And I literally had that. I was all, Oh no. And my brain just started going, dude, it's going to be gang hideouts. You're going to pay for fucking different fence types, you know, around your, you know, you're going to get some cattle and you're going to fucking,
you're
going to
pay for the horse saddles.
Oh dude. And the thing is it's unfortunate because they sort of they'll set themselves up for it. Right. Like with all the stuff they've done and you're stuck, man. You're stuck just going like, yeah, it's probably going to be infected. But one nice thing, CD Projekt Red, even though the reason why they've got so much money is because of good old games. But you do have some companies out there that are not going to do this. Yeah, right.
Which is good.
And I think, you know, you get like Hellblade, which was fantastic, shorter game. Wolfenstein. You do get some games out there that are big. I think it's the open world games that even get that almost always feel monetized to me, too.
Yeah, like, they're getting there.
It's almost like single player. You can monetize it, but that'd be weird, right? Do you want a different sword, but it's very linear? You'd be all, okay, that doesn't make as much sense as an open world game. And the moment they're like open world Western, I keep thinking horse packs. Like, it's going to be $12 for a fucking horse speed burst, and I'm just going to kill myself. Because I am such a fan of Red Dead, man. Like, imagine KOTOR, brother. Imagine on KOTOR 3, and it was like, microtransactions all the time.
That's why I just think God's like telling me, he's like, look, Maddie, I know you want it. Just wait on my time, brother, because we're gonna weed out EA. The license will transfer somewhere else, and you'll get the KOTOR 3 you deserve, man. And it's like, okay, okay, that's why it's not happening. Because, with the way EA is going, with the way we see Take-Two going, I mean, God, dude, like, just these single player games are getting bombarded with monetization. We're seeing, like, you were talking about, like, swords and horse packs. I mean, that's kind of in Assassin's Creed. It's not in your face, but it's the fact
true.
That it's even
no,
there.
It is.
You know, you could buy time savers. I hate that term. I don't like using the word hate often, especially on the podcast, but I hate the term time savers.
The time savers?
Yeah, just, it bugs me so much.
It's weird because I hate the idea of any microtransactions. I know that they are going to be there. So it's like, I have to accept that. And, you know, and that a lot of people don't mind them. But what has changed, I will say this, what has changed in the last couple of years is especially like yourself, where you get a lot of subscribers. Sometimes you will have that person who has what I consider, and people are just going to chew me up for this, but I consider for them a very valid excuse for, like, let's say a time saver. And that's where I want to play with Maddie, but I'm working 40 hours. And some people got mad at me for saying this in a video where they were like, so what you're saying is, these guys are going to pay for a game and then pay again. You know, that's the stupidest thing. Or pay, you know, to let the game play for them. And I'm all, yes, that's exactly what they're going to do. Like,
yeah,
I get where some people, it is. And it is, that's exactly it. It is a sad truth. It means I understand exactly where some of these people are coming from, saying, dude, I really just want to enjoy the game and I don't have a lot of time. And I don't want to get my ass kicked in first level all the time. And I'm like, I actually get you. I just wish you weren't involved in my sport. Like, I wish you weren't involved in what I'm covering, because I do understand where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. But the problem is a person can want something that has no real negativity to it, but the company in their making sure everybody has it. And that's the problem, is they're like, okay, we want to make sure everybody has a time saver, even though I know you don't like that term.
It's just,
so they sell them in packs when one or two people are like, I wish I could just buy one.
Yeah.
And there's no middle ground. It's just a company flooding it.
I get why they're there. Like you, I understand. But the reason I don't like the term time saver is it's because, like, have you ever had that thing in your mind and it's totally negative and then you take a different perspective on it and you go, that's not as bad. Or, oh, that's okay. Wait, I see now. That's how I view time savers. It's just a word, a phrase that's different from microtransactions to kind of hide what it actually is, of course.
Oh, I see.
So it's like, oh, we've added time savers to our game. It's like, oh, time savers. Well, now you say that, I would love to save some time. It's not microtransactions.
Engagement.
Yeah.
If I hear engagement one more time, I'm going to slaughter somebody. Like, it's changed to engagement. I see what you mean. Yeah. It that is a lie in and of itself, the changing of that word to something else. Like, I agree, man. I had forgotten, but what you just described, I have. Yeah. I've
definitely because it's like, like I said, I get it. And I know their purpose because, you know, despite all that's wrong with Battlefront 2 in that situation, the reason they're giving us free content is because, and like Overwatch, we'll say a game that is more positively received, is because people are buying microtransactions. Because those microtransactions make more money than the game sales themselves usually over time. So it's like, I get why they're there, and it gives us free content. And someone's going to be buying in somewhere. You're never going to fully cut the head off the snake.
Yeah.
It's just...
I have a question for you. Fallout 4, does it have time savers or microtransactions?
Base game... Okay. No, but it has microtransactions in the way of Creation Club.
So ignoring Creation...
Mini DLC.
So ignoring Creation Club just because it's newer. When Far Harbor came out and stuff, was there a horse armor involved in Fallout 4 like there was in Skyrim?
No.
Now that
there was just
puzzles me.
DLC. Yeah, that I think it's I wonder. I mean, the way I look at it is, you got the Bethesda family, and like their games sell, I think, pretty well for the most part. I mean, the only game that I could say Bethesda Game Studio sells incredibly well, but like the only series I think that came out this year from Bethesda that I don't think performed that well is The Evil Within 2. I know Prey got like a second wind. I know
Dishonored didn't do so well.
I'm not sure actually on that. So
Dishonored 2 sold poorly from what I understand.
Okay. I was talking about this year.
Sorry.
Yeah. Dishonored 2 did sell poorly.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Sorry.
But like, I look at Wolfenstein 2. I mean, it had 350,000 on PC, and then you account for consoles, it's got to be close to a million, I'd say. So, and I'd say that's pretty good for a linear game. I don't know how much they expect or how much they put into it, but of course, that's a discussion for another day. Just, yeah, it is strange that out of all companies, I mean, we got Creation Club, which is the closest thing. And, you know, yeah. What bothers me is we've seen it in previous Elder Scrolls games. You know, they'll bring back certain weapons and armor and stuff. And in Skyrim, we're seeing now with Creation Club, them taking Oblivion weapons like Dawn's Edge and putting it in Creation Club. And that's what upsets me most. Because one of my favorite things about a BGS game is getting lost in the world, stumbling on a cave and finding a unique weapon or piece of armor. I love the uniques in a Bethesda Game Studios game. It's the main reason when I first started playing them, I fell in love with them, because I love the rewarding feeling getting that weapon that felt different from everything else in the game. And then you see now they're taking that system and putting it into, I wouldn't call it microtransactions, you know, because they call it mini DLC, but then a mini DLC could constitute as an automaton. It's all about your perspective. But yeah. Whatever you want to call it, Creation Club, they're putting it in there. So it's like, I'm just, because the thing is, everyone's focused on Fallout 4 and Skyrim. And I've been saying for a little bit now that let's look ahead. Let's pretend it's Starfield or Elder Scrolls 6. What's it going to be like then?
Yeah,
how are they going to do that? Like, I'm pretty afraid of that, because especially with the industry changing and they have so many people buying their games, like, I don't know how it's going to go.
Not only that, but I would assume that to them, in a weird way, they sort of feel like they, even though Creation Club didn't work very well at the starting, it is pretty smart. If you step away and look, Star Wars Battlefront 2 is discussed microtransactions within Star Wars Battlefront 2. And then you have like UFC 3 coming out, and there's discussion there. And NBA. Yeah. UFC 3, by the way, if you guys are watching and you don't know about the microtransactions, it is easily as bad as NBA. Yeah. And so you have these
a level
games.
5 punch.
Dude, it's anyway. So it's crazy. I'm shocked by how bad it is. But so you look at these things. I wonder if Bethesda thinks they sort of dodged a bullet. And even with the problems, and here's why. They have a platform that they can pretend is agnostic to any game. They can be like, this is our platform. It is sort of. And so any game coming out will have a Creation Club link that goes to this place and gets this mini DLC. And in a weird way, they skirted the issue. And here's why. Because you feel a little bit like you're going to somewhere else. And if I choose not to go to somewhere else, it's not the game as much as the others. They're a little bit more in your face. Mm-hmm. And in a weird way, I wonder if Bethesda thinks they sort of dodged a bullet, because they're like, hey, our platform isn't connected. It's not connected to Fallout 4 at all. Mm-hmm. It's the Creation Club. And so you can ignore it. And I think that some people, it sounds bad, but I think some gamers can, that disconnect is enough for them to be like, yeah, they're right. Nothing was cut from Fallout 4 because Creation Club is completely separate. And you're all, in the future, that could get really bad. Yeah. Because imagine if you're at Bethesda and you're like, okay, man, Fallout 5, we're doing it in fucking Japan. But here's the thing. We don't want all the stuff in it yet. So we're going to say, and this is going to happen, by the way, this is the way developers work. Yeah. Somebody will sit and go, let's get some mod makers to prepare some mods, and it'll be stuff that then they will say, we don't need to put it in the game because it's in a mod. So it's different from being cut. It's just that it wasn't added. And that disturbs me. It sort of scares me, because it's like, if you were a mod maker, I could say, hey, we're making Fallout 4 Japan. Will you create this kind of tea house? And you're like, yeah. And then guess what I do? I walk to my list of shit and say, we don't need a tea house in the main game.
Yeah, we'll add it later and we'll sell it.
Yeah. And yet it's disconnected. And yet it's not like Battlefront, where it's like
the separation is such a minute thing that it's object versus randomized crate. And so people are like,
too,
I know what I'm getting.
Too, yeah.
I don't know. What I'm
that getting. Is true too. I wasn't even really talking about the random crates. That's true. Yeah.
So that's, I don't know. That's the other thing, man. I mean, that game, not to go off from Take Two to EA, but like Battlefront 2, I'm enjoying the game, but like getting crafting parts for some of these star cards is fucking insane. Like there's just, you know, you need so many, and it's just a busted progression system. It's because what's funny is I've already put more hours into it than nearly I've ever touched this with the first one. It's a supremely better game, in my opinion, than the first one in many ways. It's just the progression system's so botched, and drives me up a wall. But regardless, we'll go back to Take-Two for now. So they're claiming it's not gambling because of the content amount. I mean, can you see from his perspective, do you think other developers and publishers share that point of view? Like, okay, like, yeah, we're overloading them with content. Or do you think this guy's just all in his own world?
I think he's in his own world. I think most intelligent people, well, first of all, thank God for this guy, because I bet you a lot of people who wanted to say that or were thinking about it at companies are watching the reaction and are like, okay, don't say that. So that won't happen. I don't even know if this guy, like, here's the problem, Maddie. Is he aware and it's a lie? Is he ignorant, which is completely possible for a CEO to be ignorant and a president to be ignorant? It is possible in game development for that to happen. We can't pretend it doesn't happen, because guess what? We've had entire stories about it happening where a CEO has been off doing their own shit. Look at GTA 5, where it was in disastrous shape and they had to get somebody to come in and fix it, which was Leslie, what's his name? Bezos or whatever. Whoops, my dogs are freaking, hang on.
I don't remember that. I don't remember the name, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, so you have this issue, and what disturbs me is I don't think that everybody thinks that. I just think that I think that their way of describing it will be different, but I don't think there's a lot of people who think that we give you a bunch of stuff so it can't be called gambling, because that's an odd way to even say anything. I mean, as Reg put it, and this is harsh, does that mean that if I pay you, it's not murder if I kill you? And he was sort of elevating it past a normal discussion, but he was like, if you take this to its progression, the language doesn't make a lot of sense. And so I don't think most people think that. I could be wrong, but
I hope not. I certainly hope not, man.
Wouldn't it be weird if they were all like, we're creating our own, you know, definitions for everything?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I wonder if they see, and I know we're not like as widespread as, you know, national television or whatever, but you know, I wonder if they plop out these comments so that the people who are, we'll say, fanboys, more loyal to the company, will go, oh, I see where they're coming from. Look, this is how it makes sense. Like, I think with EA, with them saying you're not enjoying linear games as much, maybe they'll misinterpret that and go, well, yeah, let's look at PUBG and Destiny 2. It's like, okay, you know, are you enjoying your linear games as much as those? Yada, yada, yada. And I think they're giving certain people leverage or a place to take a stance to support their companies. It doesn't make it less dumb, but you know, I'm just saying, because.
And do you also believe, though, you yourself, that people sometimes make the mistake of thinking a lot is quality and quantity, where they're getting confused? And so they think an open world game is good, but then when you ask them, for example, I don't know if you saw the Steam review one time that said this game isn't very good and the person had like 400 hours in it. And at some point you have to question what the fuck just happened right there. Like,
the argument I got, because what happened is when I made that video a couple of years ago about, or whenever the fuck it was, about, like, I was like, you know, Fallout 4, and I was like, why, if people don't like it, why are they talking about it and still playing it? The argument I got back from that was, well, what if we don't have anything else to play? And I just think to myself, okay, I get that. I 100% understand that. Just for me, I select to not put my time into something I'm not feeling positive about, right? You know, I mean, like, don't get me wrong, as a reviewer, we've had to go through some pretty shitty experiences, and that's for our job. But if I'm playing for my enjoyment, I'm definitely not looking to dive into something of mediocrity or something that I don't enjoy as much, because that's just going to bring down my mood. That's, like, in a way, not good for your head, right? It's like, I'm going to selectively do something I'm not going to enjoy as much.
Well, what if I told you that like, you had to play ReCore for the next 2 weeks? I'm pretty sure you'd be like, no, I'm not playing ReCore for the next 2 weeks.
Let's say you only had $40, you spent it on ReCore, you don't get paid for another 2 weeks.
Then that's different.
Right.
I think for me, what's weird is when you do get an open world game and you do hear people say, well, there was nothing else or blah, blah, blah. And you're like, at some point, I think some people, it's not that hard to question them just saying, there's nothing else. And I don't know, man. I think we're just a little bit more passionate about things. And we're like, no. If then it's never getting turned back on, ever. For example, Far Cry Primal. Is there any reason you would ever turn that back on?
No.
I don't Right?
Never.
Unless you were making a video about games you didn't fucking think were very good.
Yeah.
But you didn't hate it. You didn't think, oh, this is the worst thing ever. I didn't. I disliked Hardline. But if you, and I would never turn it back on.
Exactly.
But I think that there are probably a number of people out there who just do. I guess maybe it would be like watching a TV show you don't love, but you want sound on in the background. If you've ever done that, like on Netflix, where you're like, yeah, so in a weird way, I guess I can see it a little bit.
No, but that's the thing. I get where people are coming from. Everyone's got their own financial situation and that type of stuff, and I respect that. But for me, it's the way I look at it is if you're not enjoying something, I'd go read a book. I'd go watch a movie.
Right.
I'd go watch a show. I'd go out with my friends. You know, I'd look for something that would positively attribute to my day, not negatively. You know,
Did you get that a lot when you were doing Fallout 4?
A video I made. It was the I don't even remember the fucking name of it. I'm trying to remember right now. I think it was like, why do so many people hate Fallout 4 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
This was during my mind warped stage of Bethesda and loyalty to their product, just because I had the blinders on, to tell you the truth. And I was just talking about how, like, I think this point was somewhat valid, but I was like, I wasn't considering other people's positions. I was like, why, if you don't like it, are you still playing it? And people were like, Maddie, we have, you know, right now I'm in this situation. I don't have anything else to play. It's like, fuck. It's like, fuck, I feel like an asshole. You're right. Like, I should have thought of that. So now it's obviously there. And that's why I've said to people, like, even with, I don't mean to spin this off course, but I think of, like, CD Projekt Red, where, like, you have the fanboys that are so buffed up on CD Projekt Red and so positive on them that they shit on every other company around them. And
right.
It makes its own kind of negative aura. And it's like, a couple of people are like, Matt, you are a fanboy. Why would you ever talk about something like this? It's like, because I've been there. I know what it's like. I know the consequences. Like, I know what happens when you get too attached to something. I think, arguably, I'm more qualified to talk about it than a lot of other people are, because I've been there, done that, and have put myself in a good position to completely separate myself from all that. So it's like, with CD Projekt Red, I mean, it's dangerous. Because, you know, a lot of people have, like, a can-do-no-wrong stigma, and a lot of companies, I don't think it'll go too wrong with CD, just because of their position with good old games. You know, they have a revenue source to drag from constantly and put into their games. So that's awesome. They're in a really good spot right now. But it's like, some companies have not hesitated, who might not be in that position, who get that praise, won't be hesitant to take advantage of their audience and take it a step further and see what they can milk out of them. I think the best example, actually, ironically, because I was just talking about them, is Bethesda. You know, like, we were for years going like, well, at least in AAA, Bethesda, you know, we're safe with them. And then Creation Club happens, and we're like, no way they just monetized a Bethesda Game Studios game. Like, that was the one place you thought was a safe space, and it's no longer safe. So I apologize for going on a tangent there, but, like, thoughts are
it all makes sense. I think that there's a lot of good to be had from some of these companies, but I do think that, just looking at the industry the way it is, the amount of people involved, it's one of the reasons why, you know, you said, oh, I suddenly understood this other person's, you know, case or whatever. It is one of the things that is easy to forget, that some people are entering the biz right now and they don't see things the same way, and they never will. And that's also fine. You told the funny story about the fucking kid on the golf course who's like asking to buy the microtransactions. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
guy, and he's like, you know, mom, can I spend $60 or whatever? And that's the thing, is like, they all exist out there. I think when we see a company like CD Projekt Red, or, going to be honest, I really can't wait for this game, but I don't like what the company does in some ways, Star Citizen.
Okay.
When you look at some of the shit that they're doing, and you're like, I think those are the type of fans that are a little bit the most dangerous, because, like, they can explain it away. To me, it's not that I disagree, but I slightly don't have as much of a problem with somebody who's blinders on, because I can be like, fuck you.
Yeah.
You fucking have no clue. But when somebody, they're fairly happy, but they sort of have good ways of explaining things that I think are shit, I actually get more nervous about them, or more like angry at them. I had somebody tried to tell me that, like, it made sense how Star Citizen was selling land plots on planets that weren't going to be used in the game for like 6 years. I was like, dude, At some point, you just lay the fucking hammer down and be like, we are done hammering the same plank of fucking wood. Mm-hmm. But right now, that's not happening. Yeah. Like, you and I are sort of on the odd side out where we see those, because I think a lot of people just don't see the problem.
Well, yeah, because I think part of it, and we're not, I should clarify two things. Number one, we're not saying don't be positive. We're all for
that. Oh, yeah. No, not at all.
But number two is, and this isn't to put us up on a pedestal above anyone else, because I think anyone who just engages in discussions on social media, YouTube comments can see this. It's just that I've been doing this for about a decade now. Carrick, you've been at this for a while. Like, we've just been in different positions, seen a lot of shit, basically, and kind of come around where, we're able to kind of identify like, if you ever read a comment and been like, I know what type of person this person is.
Right from the
way they type, the way they talk to you. So for me, like, the more calm, concise discussion, that's what cuts through to me. Like, that we were just talking about earlier, how I said, like, the guy said, Maddie, some people are in different financial situations with the whole Fallout 4 thing. He came to me in a calm, considerate, discussion friendly manner, and he laid it down for me. I was like, he cut right through, and I was like, holy shit. I was like, yeah, dude. Like, you're totally right. So, that's the type of thing that always gets through to me. But yeah, when you're around for a while, you just start to pick up on little things like that. But like I said, I don't want people to think we're all about, like, fuck your positivity.
No, because I'm still flying around Star Citizen, absolutely loving it. So
awesome.
I can see weird things and still love something. Yeah. Every company, right? You don't want to dig too deep. Because if you dig too deep into yourself, who sells you your cell phone or who sells you your fucking pop or your tea or whatever, you're going to be like, oh, no, they're slavers or whatever.
It's just that, like, I know some people are, because, like, the thing is that I feel like when you give your loyalty over to a company and go, like, they'll never betray us, they'll never do something wrong. Right. It's almost like I can't blame the company at a certain point, because they're going to disappoint you at one point or another, no matter what. So it's like, just approach everything with a blank slate. All right, here's the issue. Let's see how I'm going to approach this. What do I feel right now? It's just simple things like that. Regardless, though, let's move on to Doom VFR and its poor reviews. Did you see any of the scores on this?
Yeah, there were 6.5, 5.5 out of 10.
Okay.
Most of them, it's sad to me because I just got a new VR headset, and I got to say, I did a total switch from what I was thinking with the Vive towards incredible positivity, because I've been pretty negative on it lately. There's been some cool experiences, but with the PSVR, it uses the AIM, which is that gun.
Yeah.
And there's still been a lot of people complaining about it. And I was pretty sad about that, because the AIM is another $40 or whatever, on top of all this. And so I was actually expecting a little bit more positive reviews. But one thing that I did hear, they were like, dude, this is a game that is known for visual awesomeness. Doom really is. And it's known for speed, two things that VR doesn't do well with at all. Like, so you can't be too shocked at the scores, because it literally just dived into the deep end against its biggest weaknesses. Some people are really liking it. A lot of people are getting sick. And it just saddens me, because I think Doom, of all the games, if done right and if successful, could have been the title. And I think, unfortunately, each time I say this, we move the title out a little bit farther. I think Skyrim VR for a lot of people is the title, but I was just hoping it would do better is all. I was hoping it would be better, I guess, is what I should say.
I tested Doom VFR at that same Bethesda Fall event I went to, and I'm shocked, because when I played it, I was like, this compared to Skyrim VR, where I thought, oh, it's cool, you go into a cave, you look up, it's like much bigger in scale. Whereas Doom VFR, it was like, this feels right. I was like, I think this will be a good one. Because, like, you could teleport around easily and just keep shooting enemies. Because I feel like if that's one game where teleporting works, because I just imagine, actually, not only would it cause motion sickness, but actual that fast paced movement and trying to, like, shoot people at the same time, like, you'd be jumping into your TV screen, I feel like. So, I it just felt good. That's the best way to describe it. There's no critical way of breaking down the experience I had. It was like, this feels good. I was teleported here, shoot a bunch of demons, teleport down there, melee him, shoot this guy close to me, take out the shotgun, shoot him. Like, it just all flowed together well. Maybe were people saying...
What were you using? Were you using DS4, the PS4 controller? Were you using the AIM?
This was not on PSVR. This was on...
on a Rift or an Oculus.
I think it was Oculus.
Oh, I see. What do you know? What you were using controller? Were you using two controllers? Were
two
you
controllers?
Using...
Yeah.
I'm hearing, whether it be PC or PSVR, just a lot of complaints. It seems overall. I do know with PC, there are a couple fixes and technical things. You know how it is. It's like, I'm going to hack my INI file. And there's been a couple things that people have done to fix it. And I don't really have any doubts that they'll probably patch it up and get some things fixed. But you never capture the moment. And I was really just surprised because I started looking at the reviews. And my brain, no lie, I saw 5.5 and I thought they'd given it a 0.5 above a 5. Like 1 to 5. Because my brain was telling me there's no way. Right. And that's when I was all, oh, shit. And I started seeing like the sixes and I was like six is possible because, you know, I mean, just you may not be into Doom. And but when I started seeing it everywhere and don't get me wrong, there's some people who liked it and did give it high scores, but it's not the numbers that I think you and I would hope for if like we were rooting for VR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the VR is just waiting for that home run title, I guess, because there's been good games for VR.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I feel like it's waiting for that one game that anyone can dive into. It's like almost indefinitely well received. You know, everyone enjoys, whether it's the story and the gameplay, does something new with VR. I feel like it's just waiting for that. Because we've had good ones like a Skyrim or Star Trek was one that you really liked. And
God damn, I love that game. Yeah. and I think you're right. I think it just, don't you think maybe it would matter or be more, it would be better for everything if it came out at the same time, too? Because we're getting a lot of the 1 year later. You know what I mean? Like, we don't have the VR version day and date. And I think that could also be impacting it a little bit, where it's not like, you can get it on the PC, PS4, and PSVR, but instead it's like PSVR will be 6 months from now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I look at VR and I think to myself, and usually this is when the developer takes hold and does something crazy that I never thought of, but I go, what do you do next? It's like, all I've seen, I feel, for VR is teleport, shoot, stand in area, shoot. It's like, where do they go to innovate?
I think Elite Dangerous. Well, yeah. Innovate. Yeah. So like Fallout 4 with the hand thing, I saw you played Fallout 4 on PSVR. Yeah. I saw the, you know, video of like somebody looking at their, what's that called?
Pip-Boy. Yeah.
And I was like, damn, you know, that's a good way to immerse you in a very easy, small way. But when it comes to innovate, I honestly feel no one's going to agree with me on this. After we've seen them try to innovate, I would rather have them not and more go for improving traditional stuff. That's because true. I'm going to tell you, Skyrim, if it was clearer, would be pretty fucking insane. And I know a ton of people love it blurry. Elite Dangerous is incredibly good with a headset. So Star Citizen. So I would like to see some of these games. Look at Alien Isolation. It even has a hidden VR setting. It's not great. And they didn't develop it all the way. But if you had said Alien Isolation for your PC, your PS4, your Xbox One, oh, and also it's PSVR, it's Vive, it's Oculus, I have a feeling games like that, right? Like where horror, it matters. Resident Evil did really well. Resident Evil had the best VR gameplay, and it was day one, Maddie. That's the difference. It was day one. You know, it was like, I'm buying Resident Evil, I'm playing it on the PS4, oh, I'm going to play it a little bit in VR. Guess what? I'm going to go back to normal. That's what I want. And I think more gamers probably want that too.
Yeah, we discussed that before, how we want more PS4 games, for example, to support VR out the gate like Resident Evil did.
Yeah.
Because like you said, I remember watching your review and you were just like, this was spectacular in VR. It was like a game that felt almost better in VR. So
yeah. And did you get to play Resident Evil on VR?
Oh, no. I thought you were going to say Nugget the Plate. I'm like, motherfucker, I played that three times.
Yeah, no, I know you played it a ton, but you never got to even test it?
No.
You don't have any friends with the PSVR?
No, because we're all kind of like...
Yeah,
not,
right.
Not like not... Wait. I'm interested. It's kind of like for me with 4K. It's like, I want to make the jump, but...
Sure.
It's one of those things I'm like, I'll get to it one of these days. It's nothing I'm really running out of my way for.
Yeah, I would like to see... Dude, I think... So, I think your mind... It would be weird because I think you're pretty pragmatic. So I don't think you'd rush out and get a PSVR by any means. But Resident Evil, of all the games, just because I know you already liked it, I have a feeling if you played that, you'd be like, what the shit? Because there, when you're in, what's his name? The dude with the car, he jumps in the car. And dude, when you're in VR and that fucking, when something comes towards you, I just... And it's got the gameplay of a real game. You know, that's the difference. It's a real game. It's like Skyrim. It's a real game. And so when you come out into that Barrow, Darkfall, the first place with the bear right at the starting, just the prison, I guess.
Yeah.
The prison gets on fire, whatever. And he's like, hands you the bow and he's all walk by. And yeah, it was a blurry mess. I'll admit, like, it's not the greatest, but it was pretty cool to like go, fuck, this is all the shit from a real normal game. But yeah, they need to be day one. They need to start doing it as quick as they can too. Because I want people to further that as quick as possible. Because there are some really cool things you can do with VR.
That's the thing is, like, we've seen this with we'll use the Vita as an example where we got this side platform that Sony wants to be treated like the biggest platform, but they treat it like a side platform and just expect the consumer to come in and buy it because they hope it's the next big thing. It's like, no, just because you want that, you got to show us why we need to dive in. We all know VR can be cool. It's like, put the software there, you know?
Yeah.
Like you said, support VR day one. If more games started doing that, I would absolutely start looking at a VR headset right now. If like a bunch of games announced, yeah, we'll have VR support day one, I'd be like, well, fuck, I'd love to try it out and then try it out on VR.
I will say, dude, so yesterday I got my Samsung Odyssey, which is like the newer VR. And it's got better resolution than the Vive or Rift. And I've been pretty positive and negative about the Vive and Rift. They require a lot of setup and they don't have the best resolution. Dude, it was weird because I put it on and my brain was like, I didn't put on the headset.
Wow.
I'm still like, it's so clear. And it's, so, you know how, have you ever played, like, okay, the Switch, 720p to 900p, docked versus handheld, whatever, and you start to see that blurriness depending. So the jump between the Vive and between this is actually pretty dramatic, both horizontally and vertically in your resolution. And I was playing Star Trek Bridge Crew yesterday, and the difference between my Vive, which is more expensive, then this Samsung was freakish. I mean, it was so close to a normal screen. And I was watching Batman, which is my test for like watching a movie in VR because it's very dark. And there's a screen door effect is what it's called, where you can see the pixels. So it would be like getting up close to your TV.
Yeah.
And the Vive.
VR.
Yeah, right. And the Vive versus this is fucking shockingly, I mean, it is almost impossible to see the pixels. And this isn't even one of the best. It's the best one now, but there's ones coming out that are even better. And it got me so excited for this. And that's the thing is like the technology is there. $399 are the price points, $399. This one does its own self-tracking. So you don't need any outside stuff. It tracks by shooting lasers out. And here's a cool thing with the Vive. You can get out of the motion sensor range and it'll be like, get back into the motion sensor range. You're like, fuck. And you have to, but with this, because it's shooting its own lasers out, you can do whatever you want. So I was playing fucking Star Trek yesterday and there's this huge panel next to on the older version of the spaceship, the 1970 original Star Trek. There is a massive panel that shows like where enemies are.
Okay.
And it was so fucking intense to basically lean way over and get like, cause you couldn't do that in the Vive or the Rift. Shit would go, it would be like, you're out of view. And I was able to like look down at it and it was so fucking spectacular. I was all, oh man, this is finally it. But we don't have Skyrim VR. Skyrim's not out until what? Like, I think for PC, it's not out for a month or so. Fallout is out 29th.
Yeah, I was going to say Fallout comes out this month.
Yeah, so those are the games I'm hoping. Because when I saw this, I was like, holy shit, this is almost it. But I'm really excited for seeing like Fallout 4. It's so weird because I had forgotten about Fallout 4. But yesterday, playing with this, I went online and I looked at the games and I was like, oh my God. Because I'm telling you, it's very high res. It's with the PSVR, I'm sure you notice there's a blurriness. You know, there's like, it's dark, I guess would be the easiest way to describe it. And this is super bright and much clearer. And you're all, oh, it's like no more Vaseline covering my eyes. So,
okay, that definitely took my interest from here to here, just because that was one of the things I had an issue with. Like when I put on the PSVR, it was like someone dropped like a fucking an old fashioned 1950 slide over my vision. I was like, what the? Why is there like a yellow hue? Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right.
Like, I feel like I'm just gonna click a button here, and a little image is gonna pop out on the side.
Yeah,
so that's definitely good.
I think people like yourself who are like 4K PSVR. Whenever, I think we're seeing technology now that lower in price too. Because that's another thing, Maddie. Like, fuck, dude, if I said to you, you need to run a good PSVR, do you know what you'd need to buy? You'd need to buy your PS4 Pro, you'd need to buy a PSVR, and you would need to buy a 4K TV. So the investment is fucking huge. And I think that's a big problem too. A lot of gamers just don't have the money.
Yeah, you know, it absolutely is a huge investment. My friend just bought a 4K TV. I mean, he got it for $550, I think.
$550.
Yeah. Like, and that was on sale. That was a Black Friday sale. So,
right.
Crazy, man. I don't think that had smart TV. I don't know does 4K have smart TV capabilities? I know that might be stupid to ask, but.
No. Are you talking about like Android device, Android apps and stuff?
Like my TV I have here, it's a smart TV, so I can flip on Netflix with the press of a button.
Yeah, so almost all of them have that. All
right, I'm just making sure because I don't know if that was like something couldn't do.
It makes total sense to question because you never know where somebody's going to cut.
I was going
to
say, you never know. Anyway, our last topic written down is Destiny 2. They hid XP throttling and were caught. So, like we were briefly mentioning earlier, they had the same kind of, oh, wow, moment that gamers had when they discovered during an event that the XP gradually cut more and more as time went on, and you played those quick events that you can complete. They didn't want you to get through the XP that fast, and they throttle it and cut it down more. So I'm unsurprised, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on this first.
But don't you think that to say that they didn't know is the biggest problem in the entire story?
Yeah, I really... No offense to the players, I really don't even care about the XP throttling. It's the act
that the
company is taking and not knowing, or apparently not knowing about it.
And that's also, Maddie, haven't you played an online game where they do cut on purpose? Like, it's not that surprising for them to say, if you repetitively grind, we're not going to give you the full... That happens in some games. So if they had said so, but yeah, to be... Did you see their thing? They were like, we were shocked as you were. They didn't say it is that bad, but they were like, we didn't, it
we
wasn't
don't
working
like
the way
this
we thought.
Program just as much as you don't, or something like that. Let me find it while you keep going. But
it was just surprising because I said this earlier. If they're going to pretend to not know why there's a problem, then they should pretend to not know why there's a success. We can't be like, congrats, and they say, yeah, we knew everything about this game, that's why it's a success, that's why it's a masterpiece, and then be like, whenever there's a problem, be all, yeah, we didn't know, we're totally shocked. You can't have it both ways. And it was very odd for them to be like, they said something, I can't remember what it was, but it was something along the lines of like, it didn't work the way we thought it was going to, or something like that. And I was like, what the fuck? I mean, you're a programmer, or you employ programmers. How did you not know? You know, it's not a thinking machine. It's not like some, how did you not know you were telling somebody? I don't know if you saw this, but they were saying that you got full EXP and you didn't. Yeah. They were lying about it.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you not know that?
I get the full quote right here.
Yeah, read that sucker.
Last weekend, we disabled a scaling mechanism that adjusted XP gains up and down without reflecting those adjustments in the UI. Our intention was to keep slower-paced activities as rewarding as high-intensity grinding without confusing variations in displayed XP values, but the silent nature of the mechanic betrayed the expectation of transparency that you have for Destiny 2. We were able to disable the system with a server-side change, but a new solution is now needed to rebalance XP in Destiny 2. We have begun that work, and we will continue to provide updates to you about timeline and specifics. Actually, was that it? Hold on. Let me double check. Because that sounds like a response to it. Bungie addressed this in one of two ways. First, via blog post. Okay. Let's check this blog post out.
I'll be right back. Keep talking. All right.
I'm going to read this real quick. All right. So that was the response to it. That was an updated article. This article is coming directly from Bungie.net. It's titled XP in Destiny 2. We've seen community discussion around XP gain in Destiny. After reviewing our data, we agree that the system is not performing the way we'd like it to. Today, we'd like to describe what's going on under the hood and talk about what you can expect going forward when it comes to earning XP in Destiny 2. I love how that's a sentence. What you can expect going forward when it comes to earning XP. Like, motherfucker, level me up. Currently, XP will scale up when playing longer or fixed duration activities like Crucible, competitive multiplayer matches, and the Leviathan Raid. And XP will scale down when playing activities that can be quickly, repeatedly chained, like grinding public events. We are not happy with the results, and we have heard the same for the community. Effective immediately, we are deactivating the system. As a result, players will see XP earn rates change for all activities across the board, but with all values being displayed consistently in the user interface. Over the course of the next week, we will be watching and reviewing XP game data to ensure that these changes meet our expectations as well as yours. Any additional updates to the system will be communicated to you via our official channels.
Okay. I will say that sounds better than when you read it out loud, strangely enough. And this is probably normal. But when you read it out loud, that doesn't sound as bad as when I read it in the response.
Well, the thing is,
which seemed
have
more.
Have you ever had like a, not to cut you off, but you ever had like a thought in your head and like you got like 40 other things going on and you think it's a good idea, then you write it down and you go, this isn't as good. Suddenly, this isn't that good. And I've had that with video ideas where I didn't write them down and I'd flip on the mic and try to start commentating and the words would start pouring out and I'd go, this sucks. And I'd stop.
Right.
And I'd be like, scratch that topic. So that might be why. I think it's silly that I'm not saying it has to be limitless, constantly rewarding the player, constantly giving them, you know, the easy way out, because then the life for the game dies. But
right.
I just find it silly that there's like limits to how much you can earn if you chain together events. You know, I know some players will play the game and try to see, like, okay, this is the most efficient way to play.
Right.
I get that, but it's just to me, like, I find it wild. Like Battlefront 2's arcade system, you know, the fact that I can only play 5 arcade matches and I stop earning credits. Like, I don't play arcade because of that now, because you're limiting me. It's like, same thing with Destiny 2. The reason I never bothered playing it is because you limit the player. It's like, I want to engage in an experience where I know and I can expect I'm getting all I'm putting in. It's like with anything in life. You put in the work, you want to receive the reward. See, you know, reap the benefits. Like, I don't know why games just shy away from, certain games, I should say, shy away from that mentality. It's a basic thing of life.
You just sort of opened my eyes to something.
Oh, and boy.
Tell me if I'm... Okay, wait a minute. Tell me if I'm right here, because my brain, what you just said has infuriated me.
Uh-oh.
Are you saying... Okay. Remember we talked about time savers?
Yes.
Okay. So, and Star Wars, they're going to put them back at some point. And they said, we're not going to change them.
Yes.
And time savers are there so that because somebody may not have the time to play.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they're restricting the amount of EXP you can actually get for playing the game in arcade. Yes. Am I going crazy or saying... So the real player can't get as much
Did you not? Were you not aware of that with the arcade?
No,
mode
I
and,
was.
Okay,
I was. But when they said they're going to add it back, so that was my problem. Actually, was that you that they did cut those things and that they had them. But you're saying, or they're saying, they're going to add them back, and they're not going to change anything.
We haven't heard word about a change on the arcade system, which I thought should have been the first fix.
And then Destiny is saying we're going to now throttle, or they weren't throttling when we reviewed it. That was just normal EXP. So they're going to throttle it. And then they're also going to stop people from basically optimizing a playthrough. So what they're doing is they're stopping the people from playing the game, from getting EXP, but they're allowing people. I mean, I get the difference between saying you can buy something, but the idea that we're harming the player on purpose is different to me than saying a player can play it and get shit, or you can buy shit.
Because the player does it to themselves.
Right.
Because they're buying it.
Am I going crazy and saying, it feels like I was originally sort of thinking this in Destiny, that you're playing or, you can buy the engrams or whatever. Mm-hmm. What you're saying is it's now like this, and that if you're playing, you're getting less than.
Yeah.
I guess I knew that, but it feels like.
They reward you normally, based on what I read, because I have not played Destiny 2, so I don't want to act like an expert, but mm-hmm. what I read there, they're rewarding you normal amounts for the bigger events. And then the ones that you can chain together quickly, they're giving you less. Regardless, the common thing here is that they're giving you less for playing over something, a public events. So I think those are the little things that spawn around the open hub areas that you can just complete real quick, like kill 5 of these or whatever, maybe, and then move on. As you do more of those, you'll get 200 first time, 150, 150.
So what's confusing me is most of the time, or in the past, developers have celebrated gamers optimizing. Like, and what I mean by optimizing is, like, let's say you and I think what triggered me is what you said, which is you said something like the gamer figures out that this makes the most sense to go through these in this order.
Yeah.
I can't remember, and this could just be me, I can't remember the last time a developer actively said, oh, shit, we don't want you to optimize. And I've seen developers say, oh, wow, these guys figured this out. But I've never really, at least I don't remember a company saying, oh, shit, you figured out how to. I mean, the loot cave. Do you remember loot cave in Destiny 1?
Yes.
OK, so that's a glitch, right? That's a mistake. Oh, fuck, you patch that, right? That makes total sense. But I would personally say I don't remember the last time a company said, oh, shit, we're patching out this circuitous route of 12 events.
Yeah, that's like, basically what they're doing.
I can't tell if I'm having a brain fart or if that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Like, that doesn't
they
make
are
less.
Actively, okay, what we do now, they are giving less for doing more.
For
chaining events. And, I mean, this applies with any game. You know, I know some players approach it with efficiency. Like, I remember Fallout 4, people would be like, I go out, I do X, Y, and Z dungeons. I get all the materials in there. I go to my settlement. I build. I have this perk. I get my XP bonuses for each thing I build. And I level up. I want to get all the perks. It's like, okay, so that's your route. You know, you keep doing the radial quest. The items keep respawning. You keep getting XP. People do that. So it's like, why actively stop that? Because the thing is that the microtransactions, are they connected to, like, leveling up?
It's like one of those things where, if I remember right, man, it's been a while since I played Destiny 2. It's
there's cosmetics, right? Like the
there's the fucking like engram or something.
Jesus,
I'm just typing it in because I don't remember. It's been so fucking long since I played that game. That's what it was. No, you're right. It was the shaders. The shader thing you could get, and they were only one-time use. That was the major thing. So you can't buy faster XP in that game. Then it makes no sense to me that they're restricting.
Maybe these event rewards, are they stuff you could, okay, the stuff that you could buy, could you earn through these event rewards? Because then they want to throttle the XP, slow your process down, so you just go and say, fuck it, it's quicker to buy this. Time savers. Yeah.
I have a question for you, though. If there's, if they're choking that experience off, what are they stopping? Because you can level up to and beat the game very quickly. So what exactly, why are they stopping it?
I've read an article.
Does that make sense?
I think they said when you get light levels or something like that, I think certain amount gets you a bright engram, something like that. Something like that.
Jesus Christ. See, this is the problem with, this is one of the major problems with like these multi-tiered currency games.
Exactly.
Where it's like you do this and then you get this, which that can be traded in for a turtle dove, and you're fucking so confused.
Let me see if I can find the exact article I was reading.
Yeah, I don't.
There's always been questions about how earning Bright Engram XP works in Destiny 2. The bar fills that up. Or the bar that fills up after you hit the max level of 20 and are able to earn engrams sold in the Eververse store for free. For a while, the big question was whether or not there was a per-level XP cap, or if it just kept increasing forever. I still don't know the answer to this question, says the writer. But more recently, a new question has been a bit more pressing. Is Bungie reducing XP gains for some activities? So yes, as you level up that bar, you are able to earn engrams sold at the Eververse store, which is also the microtransaction store.
There we go. There we go. So God damn.
We've connected the dots.
So fucking confusing these days now with this shit. Mm-hmm. Like, transfer your fucking diamonds into horseshoes and then trade your horseshoes and turn them into gold bars. And you're like, fuck, man. I mean,
yeah,
it's so confusing. Okay. So to me, what's confusing I don't understand why they're even throttling it at all, because like add content, I guess. I don't know. Like add some fucking content. If you're nervous about people leveling through your game, especially this long after, that game's been out for
3 months.
Fucking 3 months. God, it feels like a year. It
came out in September, right?
It feels like a year. I couldn't, dude, I've done a lot of games between then and now.
Okay. Let's see. I think I got it crunkled up in this piece of paper. This would be the piece of paper. Let's see. It's Destiny 2 here, 9/8/17, so almost 3 months in a week. 3 months in a week, rather.
So, do you understand why they would even think it was needed? I mean, yes, I get the Engram thing, but
I've noticed these decisions are made usually when the player base whittles down. I'm going based off Battlefront 2 as well. Mm-hmm. They're adding these microtransactions back when obviously the player base, you know, hits its peak, unless you're having a Rainbow Six Siege, which we've never seen since, where you start off right. And go up. I've noticed that they start implementing these strangleholds on the, because they're the most loyal. They're the most likely to dive in and buy them. I'll admit, with like Overwatch, I'm still loyal to that game.
Right.
I don't buy its microtransactions anymore, but I was like, man, they gave me such a good experience. I'm there for over a year at this point, and you know, new event drops, I'm like, all right, I'll give them $20. You know, they give me so many good times. Like, those are the people who are more likely to just say, screw it, that or the ones who have the least time, or I have to say, the ones who are the most lazy when it comes to certain rewards. So I'll admit, I've been playing, I still play Call of Duty on the occasion competitively, and there's a gun, the PBSH has an epic version called the Thrive. I need one last item in the collection to unlock this weapon, and it costs 8,700 armory credits. Now, you can get those through login dailies. You complete your orders, so you get like 250 in order. Or you can buy COD points, get crates, hope to get in there. And I'll admit, sometimes I'm like sitting there, I'm grinding away, I'm like, fuck, dude, like I'm only halfway there. I just want this weapon. I just want it so bad. Can I please have it? And it's like, that's where they get you, where they're like, well, if you give us $10, because their price points for those COD points, I looked out of curiosity, were so bad. It was like 1, 10, 20, 40, 70, 100. Like, it was just like, It's not like, oh, we'll give you this price option, this one. It's like, you're in or you're out. Like, you got to come here with the big bucks.
Do you, when you look at COD then, did you review COD? I can't remember.
I did.
And this was happening day one.
Yes.
So have they done a ton of stuff and changed or throttled anything like Destiny?
Not that I'm aware of. No. So, no, in fact, funny enough.
No. The other way?
They had triple XP on at launch. They wanted to launch it with double XP, and then they accidentally added another multiplier, and they were like, yeah, actually, we didn't know this, but it's been at triple XP since the start, and we've moved it back down to double XP. I'm like, you gave us triple at launch. I was wondering how kids are prestiging so fast, because I, when you're in competitive, you're not leveling up or anything, but you're putting enough time in the game, and I go back into a pub, and I got like fourth prestiges. I'm like, how did you get there in the first week? It's like, oh, triple XP.
I see. Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think you hit the nail on the head most likely, which is that that player base went down, because I think I saw another article come out around the same point where some another person in the industry said something along the lines of Destiny doesn't have the proper content to cause people to go back to it who aren't like deep into that fucking
like
game.
Destiny and, 1 people.
Yeah.
Like all the way in for the ride.
Yeah, like, and I know people who returned. I don't know if you did, but I just heard some people
return to Destiny 1.
Yeah, yep. They're like, we're going back to Destiny 1. I'm like, fuck, man. Yeah, it's weird, man. Oh. The thing is, this entire week, this is why I was saying on the Twitter, I was like, when we were talking, I was like, there's a lot to cover. 80% of it is me not understanding what people are saying. I'm not mean.
It is. There is literally one topic we have here that we didn't go, what the fuck does this mean?
Exactly.
That was the Doom review. We didn't know what the fuck he meant by, we don't enjoy linear games. We don't know what the fuck he meant when he said that they're not changing their strategies despite such big blowbacks. We don't know what the fuck the Take-Two president was smoking. And we don't know what the hell the Destiny 2 development team's on, where they didn't know they were XP, or they did, and they just didn't say it. It's like...
Yeah, yeah, dude, it's been quite the week. I mean, when you look back at this week, there's especially if I'm doing a news video. There's who? Did you say you found it?
Found what?
Oh. I thought you said you found the video or found the comment or something.
No.
Oh, I was just going to say that if I'm doing a video, then especially a news video, you know something must be up, because I mean, some of these are so confusing and so, I mean, they're not, people are going to think we're saying we're dumb. It's not that at all. It's that what they're saying doesn't make a logical sense, even if you're not looking at the bigger argument. And, you know, like with Bungie, where you're all, what do you mean you don't know? Because if we all buy off on what some of these people are saying, then there's almost an embarrassing discussion that has to be made, where you have to be like, so you shouldn't return to work on Monday because you have no fucking clue.
Consistency here is they're all AAA. That's
yeah. Crazy. Oh, fuck.
EA, Take-Two, Bungie.
Did you play Elix, dude? Dude, I'm telling you.
A couple of viewers when it dropped were like, you should try it because you like Fallout.
Yeah, and I'm telling you right now, it's not a AAA. It doesn't have micros. And it might be one of those palate cleanser games to wipe this week away, because I feel like I need that. I actually, this week has been really weird, where I'm going to go into the weekend and I think I'm going to do something a little bit different, because I've been so confused by what a lot of the companies are saying, what they're doing, and all the, like, dark little recesses that they're poking, and then they're all, oh, you caught us, hi. And you're all, wait,
oh, what? Hello there.
Yeah, you were hiding,
just spinning the chair with the body on the table, and they're just operating on it.
Yeah,
we didn't see you there.
Yeah,
please,
so
come in.
It's just a really weird fucking week, because I mean, and you know what's even sadder, Luke the Smith, one of their main PR guys or whatever, he was a journalist. He was, which one? One up yours or whatever? Like,
I'm
he was
100% sure, but I do remember.
Yeah, and you know that. I mean, do all these people just go, meh?
Nah, or big bad Bungie. They suck.
Yeah, or are they internally going, what the fuck are we doing? One of these days, I'm going to be able to get somebody who like doesn't work in the industry and be all, okay, come on a podcast and just, You know, it'll be like that whistle.
Like I said with the review policy with Bethesda, I mean, they went back on that, but I specifically remember meeting up with one of the Bethesda's representatives at PAX and going, why did you guys do this? And he went,
right,
I have no fucking clue. That's what he said. He's like, I really don't know what they're thinking. I'm like, wow. You know, so, I mean, they're their own individual peoples. It's not like this hive mind where they all share the same thoughts, but you'd think they'd all be able to see eye to eye, especially when you're dealing with PR and shit. It's like,
you want to hear a weird story?
What?
They reversed it, right? So yeah. You've got games, I've got games. Guess what? The only game I haven't got since that all started, Doom VR. And guess what? I rated Doom Switch. Never touch.
Mm.
And I'm like, wait a minute. Or a deep sale. And I was like, that is very odd that they had not only reversed it, but had been very clear in, and you know, the emails where they're like, we're fucking changed everything.
Phone call
and you guys. Yeah, you guys fucking have every game you want and blah, blah, blah. And we were like, whoa, what the fuck's happening behind the scenes? And all of a sudden, I wasn't getting any responses. And I'm not lying, dude. The Switch review code was like, da, 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 we've got you this review code for Doom. Yeah. It's fucking great, and you can have it. And then after that, and I don't even want to know if somebody's mad about it. And that's why this one single game, Skyrim VR, boom, got it instantly. But this one, they're just like, and I even,
I got a Skyrim PSVR code too, but I didn't get one for Doom.
Well, okay. Okay, that makes me.
I just thought of
now,
that.
Now you're just pushing my fucking conspiracy buttons.
No, I'm sorry. I was.
Maybe I'm
right
wrong.
When you said that, it clicked to me because I was thinking, like, because for me, I don't expect. Because you're like the review guy. For me, like, I don't expect them all the time. And sometimes they do end up landing in my inbox, which is great. Despite not requesting them, like, I got Doom Switch, I got Skyrim Switch, and I got
Skyrim.
And
you don't have a PSVR, brother.
Yes, I do not. So I gave it away on the Patreon.
So like, they gave you that code. They gave you that code, but didn't get. Okay. Maybe I'll feel a little less conspiratorial because I don't. Okay, so, and you've got them all too, like I have.
Yes. So they might just have known it sucked and didn't send it to the certain people in case.
You're right.
I think they're just like, this sucks, man. Don't give it to them.
or they know that, like, technical stuff, you know, video especially, because I know a lot of the people they gave the codes for, you know, just have the three screenshots on the, and they, you know, so maybe it was where they were like, I mean, maybe, god damn, you threw a wrench in my entire idea.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. I was like, I'm glad you did, because I didn't say anything on the podcast, but I felt a little bit odd about that, and I was like, I wonder if I'm going to mention a video or something, but I don't think I am now. I'm just going to assume that maybe it was protective.
Hey,
and they were all, fuck. Yeah, they were like, we should watch out.
Well, and that'll do it for all the news we have for episode 135 of the Ham Radio Podcast. Carrick, thanks for doing another one-on-one with yours,
yeah,
truly.
You bet.
It's been fucking
you
awesome.
Bet. It's a blast.
Sadly, we have to welcome Lone back after all this good
time. I
times
was going
to
say.
Fuck
Lone. He can't come back. Just don't call him and let him ring in a bunch of times to be off.
Adam, at the end of the episode, will be like, sorry, dude, we thought you weren't coming, but you want to close this out for us?
That's awesome.
Anyway, we hope you guys enjoyed our hashtag of the week. Man, it is hard to pick a positive one here.
Yeah, let's do a positive one, because I was going to say, what the fuck are they saying, you know, hashtag or something, but what is positive? Okay. Thank God for no, because people are going to jump on that. I was going to say thank God for CD Projekt Red, but then people are going to think, you know what I mean?
No.
We would have been burned.
We're not
that would have been
that
a
fire,
battle.
Especially after the shit we both said.
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. Bless indies, because they're not the ones who are fucking us right now.
Yeah, you could just say blessed indies.
Yeah,
blessed indies.
Yeah, blessed indies. So if you got this far in the podcast, tweet at the following handles you see on screen, at G27Status, at Jeremy Penter, and feel free to include Lone, you know, at Lone Vault Wander. Tweet us the hashtag Blessed Indies. That is BLESSEDINDIES. because, you know, we don't want people sending us like indies like with EEZ or something like that. Gotta get it just right. So we hope you guys enjoyed, and we will catch you in next week's episode. Peace out.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.